Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy. In about 15 minutes, everybody will be able to call in live and speak to our guest tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to tell you more about her and who she is. The call-in number, 406-533-5785, will open up the phone lines here in just about 15 minutes. So tonight, we're speaking with Sonovia Han, and she's a 1.5-generation Korean-American woman who is involved with a really cool and interesting tech startup. And in just a moment, we'll be back, and she'll introduce herself, and we're going to have a great conversation about many, many interesting things that she's gotten to do in her life. We'll be right back.
I saw below that golden van. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and ran, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of a diamond dance.
We're back. This is Carol Murphy, and you're listening to Heartstock Radio. This evening, we have a really lovely woman that we're going to be speaking with, Sonovia Han. The startup that she's involved with is Bezalel, and I've been practicing saying that. So she's going to tell you all about that and a little bit about her personal story. Sonovia, please tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Hi, yes. Thank you, Carol. So my name is Sonovia, and I represent Bezalel, which is a Los Angeles-based startup that specializes in wireless charging devices for smartphones. And I've taken the role of a spokesperson and a little bit of marketing and PR as well. As you mentioned, I am 1.5 generation Korean-American, which just means that I'm the product of immigrant parents. I was born in South Korea, but I was raised in the U.S. and educated and went to school in the U.S., both as a Korean and an American. That's me.
So that's a beautiful, diverse perspective that I'm really excited for everyone to hear from you on. And one of the reasons that we in particular wanted to speak with you this evening is because we talked about this a little bit earlier too. Technology and our smartphones kind of have this democratizing effect on our culture around the planet. There's so much information that we all have access to nowadays. But yet at the same time, when we look at the numbers and the statistics, there are just so few women in the tech industry. So let's start out by talking about your personal background and your story. Please share that with our listeners.
Sure. Like I said, I was born in South Korea. And growing up biculturally, I struggled with two very different cultures. I struggled with two very, very different languages, very different histories. And my early childhood was in New York and later was in Southern California. I also went to school, graduate school, and college, undergraduate in both California and New York. But so I had the great sort of privilege to be able to live and grow up in diverse settings. But I noticed that on the one hand, the diversity was great because, you know, you can be exposed to so many different cultures and so many different identities. But on the other hand, there's a kind of congealing effect or a click effect where people kind of stick together and either stay comfortable or don't really go outside of that circle. With regards to technology and democratization, it's specifically in the context of wireless charging devices, you know, which is where I'm coming from, is simply the conversation about cell phones, smartphones, handheld devices, and the type of information and knowledge and data that many different people all over the world can have exposure to. Now, if you have a wireless charging device, especially a portable one where it kind of functions as a power bank, it can afford you a few more charges for your phone, which means that it's going to last you a lot longer. So by virtue of simply the fact that you have a cell phone and have access to information and data is going to, you know, definitely going to be a leg up for the person, no matter what, depending on the situation that that person is in. And the wireless charging device is just going to help enhance the longevity and the convenience of that.
Which, you know, some of the places that I've been to, and I'm sure you as well, and we were talking about this earlier as well, that we had a contingent of South Africans come and visit and share their culture with us here at KBMF. And there are so many parts of the world where maybe the person doesn't necessarily have running water or electricity in their home, but they have a cell phone. And that is really changing the access that people have to information, which is power. And so what you're saying is by having this cordless charging system for your phone, which would really come in handy if you're not, if you don't have electricity in your home or maybe just a solar panel to charge your phone, about how much longer of a life will that give us on our phones?
Yeah, that actually, that depends on, it really depends on the device. So it and also depends on the power bank. A good quality power bank will afford you two full charges at least for your phone. And that's what Bezalel has. We have the Prelude, which is a fully portable, fully mobile power bank that does exactly that. So just like you said, in a case where a person doesn't have easy access or close access to an electrical plug or wall socket or any type of power source, but maybe they have to travel, like maybe they have to travel a far distance just to boost up their devices, this is something that can actually come in quite handy.
So I'd like to delve in a little bit more into your story and how you got involved with Bezalel. And have you had any challenges? I mean, I hear so many stories about women that are working for companies that are kind of tech-leaning. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. You know, I feel very lucky because I myself haven't come across anything that specifically used my gender or my sex as a point of weakness. I don't know if it's because I come off strong, especially in a very male-dominated environment, but I know a person who kind of underwent a gender discriminatory / stereotyping event where somebody had asked her a technical question about a mechanical sort of device. And when she responded, he said to her, "You got all the answers right. Keep smiling." And for her, she felt that it was a kind of a condescending comment on her just by the fact that she was a girl and she was delving really deep into these very technical things. And then here comes this man, and he was an engineer who came to sort of test her out and see if she's going to get the answers right. But then the keep smiling part, and I guess the overall feeling that she received from him, you know, she felt that there was something about the issue of gender that was definitely part of that happening. In terms of my own...
So yeah, in other words, if she had been a man, the conversation would have been much different. He would have never said such a thing. Yeah.
Right.
And on a personal note, you're going to say, go ahead.
I think I was trying to answer the second part of your question.
Yes.
What was the second part of your question?
Well, just your own personal experience in the tech world and any stories that you may have of how that's affected you. Has it been, it sounds like with the company that you have right now, that you're with right now, that it's a pretty level playing field. I mean, my desire as a woman, I can say that what I am seeking is a 50-50 partnership, whatever kind of project I'm working on, what, you know, professionally, you know, here at the radio station. Have you pretty much encountered that through your whole journey?
I haven't been put in situations where I can really compare side by side so clearly. But I definitely am somebody, if I feel that I'm being like unfairly treated just because of my gender or sex, I'm definitely going to speak out, and, you know, bring that to exposure. But I haven't been in the tech world for very long. It's actually quite new for me. But I do, from my experiences so far, and not just in tech, but in other industries as well, I think women do have to be on top of things. They have to show that they know their work, and that, you know, because there is the differentiation between men and women, and especially in marketing in my area, there is a different presence between a man and a woman, and the kind of voice that they're capable of delivering, and then the type of attention that they receive. So I think there is definitely a difference, and women do need to step up and show that they're kind of on top of their game. And just like my friend who had, if she didn't get all of her answers right, quote unquote, she didn't get her answers correct, then, you know, I don't know what would have happened, but either way, she still was the receiving end of a kind of, you know, kind of a funny comment. Mm. So I think the basis is that we do have to know, we do have to kind of have the answers correct. But then again, it's kind of a dichotomous sort of oxymoronic thing, because, okay, even if we do have the answers right, we still have this type of treatment. So then, you know, that's why we have this conversation that's kind of ongoing.
So do you think, since you've had kind of this marketing background and now being in tech, do you feel that there's a big difference in tech? Why this differentiation that there are so few women, number one, and then incidences of women kind of being, patted on the head. That's okay. You know, don't worry your pretty little head about that kind of attitude. Right.
Yeah, you know, I think it really just kind of stems from modern American history, or just modern Western history, with how, you know, gender stereotypes, women are more associated with things that have to, majors, for instance, that have to do with like psychology or English literature or, you know, drama or something like that. And men are a little bit more prone to these technical majors. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that, you know, statistically, you'll see that in colleges, or you'll see that in the business world. So the question really is, it really has to do with, I guess, a deeper underlying question about how these associations of characteristics are formed in a setting, in a certain setting at a certain time. So how is it that, you know, that males are associated with these very technical sort of majors, and this type of skill and knowledge that is tech oriented, as opposed to, you know, women who have more of those associations. So it's really a question of these kind of gender stereotypes and questions of the skill and the way that they're associated with gender.
Yeah, we're back to the nature versus nurture question. Mm-hmm. You know, my background being in science, I can say that I look at my family background and the way that I was spoken to, especially by my father. You know, he always encouraged me, well, why don't you be a nurse? Well, as a matter of fact, I became a doctor. And I always recollect back on that that time in my life, you know, why did he not tell me that I could be a doctor or mm-hmm. an engineer or an architect?
Right.
He saw me growing up, and obviously he knew that there was a certain thing about me that he thought would make a good nurse. Well, there were many other things that I could have made a good one of. Why something stereotypically female? So I think it's definitely worth examining. But for now, in just a couple minutes, we're going to take a little break. But I wanted you to maybe share with us some of your greatest successes that you've had as a woman in your professional and personal journey that's brought you to where you are now.
Sure. I actually have been running a publishing company, and this is purely just volunteer work. A publishing company where I had the great honor of being able to translate a bunch of books and translate them and publish them, put them into ebooks, turn them into audiobooks, narrate them with my voice going inside of like a sound booth and a professional audiobook studio and things like that, and go through this very long process of creating a publishing company with a whole bunch of content in many different forms of delivering content, because nowadays books don't have to be like paper. So this, I would say, is probably my greatest accomplishment that I have in my personal journey.
What made you want to do that? What was the impetus for all that?
The impetus, the impetus was my own reception of the original content of the book. And so I cracked open the first page and was blown away by the poetry, the beauty of what was before my eyes. And I looked online, I was like, do you have this in English? Is this translated in English? And it wasn't. So someone, my aunt was the one who was like encouraging me to translate into English. But at that time, my command in the Korean language was really poor. So this process of creating and establishing a publishing company really actually comes from a very arduous journey of learning the Korean language all over again.
And what beauty you found in that culture. That's what I always am amazed by, that all of my preconceived ideas, every time I go someplace that I've never been before, it's just so beautiful, more so than I could have imagined. That's really, really great. Okay, so now we're going to take a quick little break here.
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a moment and open the phone lines. Thanks
so
much.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
A voice will sound. This land was made for you and me. Oh, when the sun came shining and I was strolling and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me. And as I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said no trespassing, but on the other side it didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me.
Hi, this is Heartstock Radio, and I'm Carol Murphy. Today, we're speaking with Sonovia Han, and the phone number, we're opening the lines now, so please call in and ask your questions, 406-533-5785, and tell us a little bit more about that book, the title and the author. I'm sure there's people who will want to check that out. It sounds beautiful.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, they're a series. It's called King of Light. And the author's name is Young Rock Lee, Young and then hyphen Rock Lee, L-E-E. And the content of the book really is a kind of very poetic commentary of the Gospel according to John. And then we also have another one that refers to the book of Genesis, but not the entire book. And really, the book reveals how all of this stuff that's depicted between, for example, Jesus and the various people that he had encountered, how this depiction is so deeply a kind of a metaphor, or how they refer to and point to aspects of our own relationships with God, with our divine creator. And especially with something like the book of Genesis, King of Light, but the book of Genesis, there reveals how creation, for example, does not refer to the physical stars or to a concrete universe where we can see with our eyes, but it refers to a very profound, very deep and wide and vast space that's inside our spirits, so that when, from God's perspective, our divine creator's perspective, Eden is inside of the human. And then the author goes on to talk about how, you know, something like Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and the snake and all of this, how could this have anything to do with us, with man? Well, the author very eloquently and very simply, not with like a lot of words, just says it's, there are aspects of us.
So, the really surprising thing, you know, for me and probably some of our listeners too, is it's not something that you would expect to be written in the Korean language originally. That's really beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, the Bible originally it's in Hebrew, or, you know, there's Aramaic and then all these different translations. And then it, actually, Christianity didn't come into Korea until the very early 20th century. It's very recent. Korean modern history is very recent, and things happened so fast. And that includes the reception and the complete, utter embracing of the Christian faith.
So do you consider yourself an empowered woman?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
And how did you get that way? Do you attribute it to the way your parents raised you, or the way you raised yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I do attribute it to the way my parents raised me. But I think it has to do with the tremendous amount of resistance that I had faced during my young adult and my adult life. So, and my parents were actually part of that resistance. They're immigrants. They're hardworking immigrant parents from Korea with their own standards and high expectations from the Korean culture of their time. But at the same time, my dad had always empowered me as a female. He would always tell me, you need to be a strong, powerful career woman. Not a Korean woman, but a career woman, and that I must achieve this high success in order to help others. So it's kind of interesting how my parents had this, like, I was always surprised because I was under the impression that they were like old fashioned. But then when my dad would sometimes pull me aside and speak very gravely, very seriously, but also at the same time in his own like comical, humorous way, he would tell me that I need to help others and I need to do good for others. But in order to get there, I myself need to be empowered and successful and strong and all of that. So it does come from this very tug and pulling, even from the same type of people, same kind of people that who helped me who helped me grow. But it really comes from a tremendous amount of resistance that I had to push through and find ways of overcoming.
So what advice would you give to young girls today? I'm really, with STEM programs and all the encouragement that many organizations are giving to girls, I still feel that, you know, there needs to be women like you as examples, kind of cheering them on. What kind of advice do you have?
Oh, yes. It's just like anything else. I think if you want to achieve something, there's going to be some resistance in some shape or form. And on the one hand, there's the external resistance, but on the other hand, there's an internal resistance. And I think girls feel this at a very early young age. And part of overcoming the external resistance is overcoming the internal struggles and the wrestling. So I think once girls, or even men too, boys, find ways of grasping this internal life, this internal world, and overcoming and being victorious in many different aspects of our lives, when it comes to facing ourselves, we can very much handle the outside sort of pressures, things that come along as in our journey of life. But for young girls, I would definitely encourage them to put down their cell phones or social media, just because the human factor, once you start meeting another human being and having a relationship with another human being, you know, it's a little different from the time when we didn't have, you know, such a prevalence of cell phones and devices. So I would encourage girls and women not to be afraid and to take risks and to go on adventures and to have faith and to build a personal faith as well. Also to have good, solid role models and figures to look up to. For me, Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman to ever hold office in the U.S. Supreme Court. I remember when I was living in New York and my teacher told me, you know, we all have to pick a role model. I flipped through the encyclopedia and I saw Sandy Day O'Connor. She was the only woman in office. And I said, she's my role model. I like her. But then I noticed that she was not in the same minority category as like the colored woman. So I kind of had to look in different directions and look at other places for role models. And that really came in my community, my churches, my friends, my older sister, older brother figures.
Yes. So we have maybe just about a minute left. Please tell our listeners, how might they contact you if they want to carry on this conversation with you?
Sure. they can contact me by email. My email is SenoviaH, so SenoviaH at Bezalel.co. They could also look me up on Facebook, Synovia Holland. I also have Twitter, so they can look me up on Twitter as well.
Thank you so much, Synovia. And I want to say thank you so much to Daniel Hogan, who is here with us today. And
thank you, Daniel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. This is Heartstock Radio, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBFM 102.5 Butte America Radio.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream.